Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls. We have this calling from Great Britain, Colonel Barry Turner, who served with the military for many years and has certainly studied what's going on in the world and understands, as we often refer to it, the fact that there are hidden forces working behind everything that is going on in the world today. And if you think that anything is as appears to be, incredibly naive, I hate to say that, but then, of course, at one time I was naive. I didn't understand what was going on. Well, Colonel Turner has been following this for a long, long time, and we're going to start out talking a little bit about what's going on in Iraq. Now, we've been told, we went over there because Osama bin Laden attacked the World Trade Center, and we've got to capture Osama bin Laden, and then we went into Afghanistan, and we never tried to capture Osama bin Laden, and we're still not trying to capture Osama bin Laden, but we have to have him out there as the enemy to rally the people behind. And then because Osama bin Laden escaped, why we attacked Iraq, which was always the purpose, the main reason we went over there was to attack Iraq. The plan was there long ahead of time. And we went in and we said, we're here to liberate you from the wicked Saddam Hussein. But I don't think that the people over there in Iraq feel that way at all, or they would not be destroying themselves and killing themselves, you know, to try to drive out the what they look upon as the invaders. So I'm going to let Colonel Turner pick the story up, because it's like deja vu all over again. Of course, Britain tried this back in 1918. Colonel Turner, why don't you give us your impression of what's going on over there?
Yes, thank you very much. It's nice to be back, too. I'm sitting here with a glass of water and a modest measure of my favorite malt whiskey and ready to go. I think before I sort of start into the sort of my own background, I think it's important because we've created, or an unholy mess has been created in our names. I think those of us who call ourselves Christians need to reflect very on what is going on and what has been going on. I think it's possible to bring it up to date and look at what is the events, the milestones that have led to the present situation. But I don't think anybody has the foggiest idea of where we're likely to go from there, quite honestly. But we're talking about an ancient civilization when many of us in the West were swinging from trees. They had invented algebra. They had sophisticated irrigation systems. They invented astrology, which was used by the three wise men of the Bible. And here we are, looking at the mess that we've created. I regret to say that a heavy responsibility for this falls to the United States, because the United Kingdom, with no less guilt, is very much the junior partner, considerably the junior partner, rather like playing a subordinate role to Batman, as it were.
Well, of course, the difficulty is that the average American, I think, is very upset about what's going on. I think the average
Indeed.
British person is. But it seems as if there is almost a cabal that controls our government and works in conjunction with yours. And they have an agenda that is entirely different than that of the average American, entirely different than that of the different British person. And the difficulty is, of course, they're not being honest with us. They're not telling us the truth. And we'll be back in just a moment here to explore these ideas much further with Colonel Barry Turner. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Colonel Barry Turner, and he's calling us from Great Britain, and wanted to express his concern about what's happening in Iraq, and certainly feels, as I do, that this is being done by our government. His government is certainly a junior player in this, but as I was pointing out, it would appear that there is a cabal that really controls both of our political parties and works in conjunction with the cabal that controls both political parties in Great Britain, and they have a different agenda from the average individual, and they're lying to the people about what has happened and where we are going from here. But let's go ahead with your thoughts, Colonel.
Well, if I could give you a little of my background, because we have the talking heads pronouncing over the years on the Middle East and other affairs, the general purpose journalists, the self-appointed experts. In my case, I should justify, you know, one. In the mid-1950s, I studied engineering with Iraqi students, and they were excellent students, very clever engineers, and two or three of them were highly sophisticated, cultured individuals. Now, in Aden, in 1960, for a year, I then went to Bahrain in the middle of 1961, and I was there for the first threat of an incursion into Kuwait under General Qassem, who was then the dictator in Iraq. I then spent 4 weeks in Kuwait in the autumn of 1962. There I met Brigadier Mubarak al-Jabir, I think I'll get his name correct. He was commanding the Kuwaiti armed forces. Now, I'd known him as a cadet at Sandhurst. I was a humble captain. Of course, when you can buy your own army, you can promote yourself according to need. But we did meet, and we had coffee in his office, and I got to know the sort of culture and the background to the Arab forces in Kuwait at the time. Now, it's interesting, a couple of points on the culture we've been trampling over for the last 3 years and more. When I was in Bahrain, in the capital, Manama, in 1961, I was crossing a busy road into the souk, or waiting to cross the road, and I looked to one side, and there was a little bespectacled man wearing traditional dress, and he looked up at me, and he said, "Do you speak Arabic?" And I said, "I'm terribly sorry. I'm afraid I don't. Should you know?" We crossed the road. Of course, I haven't seen him since.
Hold that thought for just a moment as we bring our other stations back on board right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Colonel Barry Turner, who, of course, has studied at Sandhurst, that served in the military, has studied engineering. He was in Bahrain, Kuwait in 1962. He recognizes the quality of the Arab culture. We look down, they're only Arabs. No, when, of course, we had a very uncivilized civilization, while the Arabs had a very advanced civilization, you know, in millennium past. And he is telling the story about this part of the world and in the Near East some years ago, and pick up the story there. He was talking to a gentleman, an Arab gentleman, who asked him if he spoke Arabic, and Colonel Turner said, "No, I don't." And the Arab said, "Well, you certainly should learn Arabic," and pick up the story from there.
Well, the second little episode, when I moved from Aden to Bahrain, there were no army married quarters, and we all had to rent our accommodation privately. Now, I rented a bungalow from an uncle of the ruler, very distinguished looking man, typical of the traditional Arab, pointed beard, lean features, traditional dress. Now, he was a judge in the law court, and I had to go every month to pay my rent. And it was a quadrangle of single-story buildings, and I went in across the courtyard to the glass doors of the court. When the chowkidar inside the door noticed, and I knocked, of course, I went in. My cap and my cane were handed over to the chowkidar at the door. The sheikh then beckoned me to sit beside him, and the whole proceedings of the court stopped. And I joined him on the bench, and the coffee came. Now, we indulged in polite conversation, which, of course, was by courtesy, for a few minutes, and I had three cups of coffee in the strong Turkish coffee in these little cups. No more, no less. And on the third cup, when I'd finished, I waggled the cup, which was a signal that I'd finished. The coffee was taken away, and then I discreetly handed over my check, went back to the door, put on my cap, cane under my arm, saluted, and left. Now, these were the sort of courtesies that were understood then, and they're the sort of courtesies that had been trampled on quite indiscriminately, without the slightest concern, in the past 3 years, or since the invasion, 2003. Now, my knowledge is not taken from my favorite newspaper. It is taken from something like 3,000 A3 pages, as the large size pages of press cuttings, been maintaining since 1991 and the first Gulf War, and other documents. It amounts to something like 20 ring binders. So when I need to know something, I've got the record. Now, amongst journalists, Felicity Arbuthnot, is an expert freelance journalist. She knows Iraq backwards, which is very unusual amongst the general purpose journalists, even those out there who write from the safety of the green zone. She has toured Iraq, she knows every corner. Now, with a young photographer, Karen Robinson, during the sanctions, she toured the hospitals, taking photographs of horrendously deformed babies, with no eyes, limbs fused together, genitals missing, or internal organs outside the body. This was directly as a result of the sanctions that had been imposed and the lack of medical supplies and the cancers that proliferated due to the depleted uranium residue from the Gulf War in 1991.
Talk about that here in America, the criminal activity of using depleted uranium, and that's solid uranium-238, as military hardware. They didn't know how to get hold of it on our enemies. And, of course, but what about the civilian horrible deformities? Go ahead, Doc. Colonel.
Well, and, of course, the food and such medical aid as were coming through. It was administered by UN commissioners. The first one was Dennis Halliday, and the second one was Hans von Inde, in disgust at the pressure put on them, not by the Iraqis, but by the Western authorities. Another journalist, John Pilger, a film that was shown in this country early in 2000, What Are They Doing to Our Children? All About Iraq. Now, he is another excellent journalist. And Felicity Arbuthnot was his technical advisor for the film in 1999. We have Seymour Hersh, who writes in The New Yorker. Robert Fisk, another Arabist and past master on the Middle East. Patrick Coburn. Professor Noam Chomsky. Now, it's interesting that in his Chronicles of Dissent, his conversations recorded with David Barsamian, he makes it quite clear, and I think you've made the point, Dr. Monteith, already, the way in which we are told, the way in which academia, the media, the control media, control our perceptions. And, of course, you're into this problem of what we're allowed to know about what is going on in the Middle East and the truths and the sluts. It's interesting now. I hope we shall have time to come to this later, but Noam Chomsky sent me a description of the British Prime Minister Tony Blair. Can I quote? "On Blair, I guess nothing you could say could surprise me. When I happen to catch him on BBC television somewhere or see a picture, he reminds me of nothing more than a slightly crazed six-year-old with a big grin while he plays with his new Star Wars laser gun that can wipe out everyone in sight." Now, I went straight back to Professor Chomsky and said, "You know, do you mind if I quote you?" He said, "By all means." He said, "My only reservation is that I was being too kind." Now, we have this role played by the British government in Iraq as a subordinate to the United States. And as I say, we should come back to this in due course. Another marker. I came across this purely by chance. A connection between Anne Clwyd, a Labour Party MP, who is Blair's spokesman on female rights in Iraq, where paradoxically enough, before the invasion, the women were as emancipated as anywhere else in the Arab world, far more, in fact.
You're speaking now in Iraq, they were far more emancipated, and thanks to the American Union, a country with Sharia law, and of course the women are going to lose rights. And this is what people don't understand. They had a stable society there. We've created an unstable society where Christians could live. They've all fled because they realized that 10% of the population was Christian. No longer. They've had to leave the country because of the American invasion. We've taken a country with its order, and at least there was safety out walking the street, that had electricity that worked and had the water that worked and sewer that worked, and created total chaos in the name of bringing freedom, or maybe in justifying staying there indefinitely.
Yes, indeed. To cover this question of Anne Clwyd, what I learned was that she was involved with a company called Indict, pronounced Indite in the dictionary, but it's all in capital letters here. Now, I traced the details from Company's House, and it had been formed in 1995. What was interesting amongst the 12 directors was Dr. Ahmed Chalabi, a CIA man, an Iraqi, who hadn't been in the country for something like, I think, 20, 30, perhaps 40 years. Now, we know Chalabi's record, and here was a British Member of Parliament associated with this man in 1995, long before the invasion. Now, I spoke to the investigative journalist Paul Foote, well-known in this country, and he was going to take it up in a big way. Unfortunately, he had a dicky heart, and he died next week. And no publication has been willing to take up this story, although Felicity Arbuthnot has tried on several occasions. Another pointer in the record of Iraq, who was really behind the gassing in Halabja? You know, we have to look at the way we sponsored successive dictators, or deposed them as it suited us. And the question here in, I think it was, when was it, 1988, something like that, who supplied the poison gas? Who supplied the expertise? Now, it came from the United States.
You're talking now about when Saddam used poison gas on the Kurds, and he used the poison gas was made with the products he got from the United States, and the United States continued supporting this wicked, evil man after he had used poison gas on the Kurds and killed tens of thousands of them. What is the culpability of our leaders, who at that time, of course, was a man named George Herbert Walker Bush, for the gassing, and then why would you support the wicked Saddam Hussein after you'd done that?
Well, a very good question, and of course Donald Rumsfeld was involved at the time. And it's interesting that Saddam Hussein's trial, is deftly sidestepping this particular connection. I mean, the West had set him up for an eight-year war against Iran because the Ayatollahs had become too powerful of a threat. When it suited us, we backed him. Now, if he has only tried crimes against his own people, killing a few hundred of his political rivals, then it neatly avoids the questions surrounding Halabja or the eight-year war and who had a finger in that particular.
And of course, the last thing they wanted to remind the American people that the chemical and biological weapons we were so concerned about had been supplied by our own government, and that we had given countless billions of dollars to this evil and wicked man, gassing of the Iranians, and supported him after the gassing of the Kurds. Why would we have done that? Why is that today? Is it possible that the media really is controlled here in America? Our reality is created by others? We'll be right back with Colonel Barry Turner from Great Britain. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught into a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians. They still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government
would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable at the Radio 805-HIB-WAR right now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox. French exhibit greater cardiovascular health despite their fatty diet because of the... Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule, just like in a sealed bottle of 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills to energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? There's a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs, in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty New Listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what's done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Colonel Barry Turner. We're talking about really what's going on over in Iraq. And you pick up the story there, Colonel.
Yeah, the exact right interested. I still stick to malt whiskey as a cure for anything. However, something which has not been mentioned recently is oil. Now, nobody can deny, you would buy people, I'd argue the other way, the root of everything that's gone on in the Middle East. We're very selective in our concerns, and Iraq happens to have oil, and this is where the solution lies. But if we go back to 1975, and it's really a factor in why we're seriously, well, we're becoming to be loathed in the Middle East, certainly mistrusted, but loathed and hated as well. Now, in 1975, the Honorable James Akins, who was the former ambassador to Saudi Arabia, came across a plan to, in fact, replace, take over the oil industry in the Gulf. It didn't include Iraq, but take over the oil industry in the Gulf by replacing the existing working structure with Americans. It was a takeover. Akins exposed this, and tick. You know, whoever thought it up was just crazy. Only to discover too late that it had been drawn up by Doc. That ended James Akin's political career, diplomatic career, not surprisingly.
And, of course, we should never forget that the first administration the Americans had taken Baghdad was Paul Bremer, who worked for Kissinger and Associates. So, I mean, Kissinger, yeah. This is Kissinger's plan.
It closes the loop very neatly. A number of people, of course, as you know, worked for Kissinger, our own Lord Carrington, who toured Africa with him in the 1970s. Another uncomfortable one, which simply has to be faced, because it's a fact you don't discuss any problem without taking all factors into account. Israel is pivotal to everything that goes on in the Middle East. And if one looks at the composition of neoconservatives, one can see the links. Professor Kevin MacDonald wrote a very interesting paper thinking about neoconservatism, but I suspect, of course, that he was attacked as an individual, not what he'd written. But if we come to the Laurie Milroy episode, then I can elaborate on that. In 1991, the Kurds were granted autonomy under Saddam Hussein, and the record shows that the CIA and Mossad went straight in to operate amongst the Kurds. So here we have some interesting links. But overall, what one has to say is that we invaded a country that had never threatened the West, one we had already decimated in 1991, on a lie and knowingly falsified evidence. Of that there is no question. And I'm afraid, like it or not, in a just society, President Bush, Prime Minister Blair, Secretary Rumsfeld, British Defense Secretary at the time, Hoon, Paul Wolfowitz, Colin Powell, our Foreign Secretary Jack Straw and company, would be on trial as war criminals. It just happens that they're in the post, and they make the rules as they go along. This point was made on the question of the war crimes by Scott Ritter in the British Daily Telegraph on the 8th of October this year.
Well, because I think that in Colin Powell's did go on to Barbara Walters' program and said the greatest blight on his entire military career was when he went before the United Nations and gave false information and lied. He said he didn't know he was lying. The intelligence committees knew the information he had been given by the administration, and he would never forgive himself for being responsible for getting the United Nations to back the war. So even though Colin Powell is not one of my favorite people, I think from that point of view, he has been certainly quite honorable. In fact, he's one of the military people who's come out against torture and saying it's wrong to use cruel, inhumane, and degrading treatment of prisoners of war. But, of course, the Bush administration has come out and said if the Senate passes the bill, we'll veto it. And in other words, they want to be able to use cruel, inhumane, and degrading prisoners of war. And to his credit, that's wrong. I think every Christian, every American should say that, but where is the outcry from the Christian leaders in this country against the policies of our Christian administration, which supports the policy of torture? Say what you will, they have come out against this bill passed by the Senate, 90-9. 90-9 to limit the use of cruel, inhumane, and degrading treatment of prisoners of war. Would you want our prisoners treated that way? Well, the president, of course, wants to treat the enemy that way. And if we treat the enemy that way, can we expect better treatment for our people? We'll be back here in just a moment. But you have to stop and think, ladies and gentlemen, what's happened to Christian morality in America? And where's the outcry from the Christian leaders?
Very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991. It tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the unnecessary epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I guess this afternoon, Colonel Barry Turner, Colonel Turner, why don't you just pick up the story there?
Well, you made a very good point, actually, about the Christian conscience and what the Christian community has been prepared to go along with. When one looks at Iraq, what strikes one is the total disregard for Western committed or condoned or sponsored atrocities elsewhere. Or the concern at pro-Western dictatorships, say, in Chile or Indonesia. In other words, we're highly selective. But what we're heading for, in what is really a recap and trying to fill in a few gaps, is the sort of things that have made us hated and mistrusted in the Middle East. Now, in 1988, the USS Vincennes brought down an Iranian airliner with the loss of something like 300 lives. It was dismissed by Reagan as an unfortunate incident. Now, at the end of that year, Flight 109 was brought down over Lockerbie. It was suspected at the time that a Drugs Enforcement Agency officer was taking back some severely incriminating evidence to the United States. It's never been properly resolved, this whole question. Libya has provided the fall guys under pressure. But at the time, all hell was let loose. The FBI were swarming all over Scotland around Lockerbie. But as I say, it's never been fully explained. On the morning of the 9th of September, the 11th of September, 2001, the Daily Mirror published an exposure of the failure to investigate evidence from the Heathrow security staff over Lockerbie. But of course, the whole thing was totally overwhelmed by the destruction of the Twin Towers.
But of course, really, there are many, many people who feel that this was an Iranian retaliation against the downing of one of their planes.
Well, it's well merited. It's not the way to go about things. But you see, we allowed that Iranian airliner to be downed with virtually no concern at all and no publicity. It's a totally hypocritical attitude to take, and of course it colours the whole thing. Now, the United Nations weapons inspectors are said to have been expelled by Saddam Hussein in 1998. This is not so. Richard Butler, the head of the team, ordered them out. And this was just prior to Operation Desert Fox, when Iraq was bombed, strangely enough, at the time of Bill Clinton's impeachment over Monica Lewinsky. Now, here we are. What a coincidence. And the Iraqis and other people in the Middle East are not stupid. They watched this happening. Evidence from the UN inspectors, the weapons inspectors, was passed to, I think it was sometime in 2002, was passed for the United Nations. I mean, the United Nations inspectors were passing their report to headquarters United Nations. This evidence, this dossier, was intercepted by the CIA. It was 11,800 pages long, and they reduced it to 3,400 pages before it was passed on to the United Nations. This is the sort of thing that has gone on. But I'd like to bring another point.
Before I go on, though, your one point is that wasn't it a coincidence that we attacked? You know, I think we lobbed some missiles into Afghanistan, and then we took out an aspirin factory in the Sudan. Just when this whole thing with Monica Lewinsky was going to blow up, of course, everybody says it had nothing to do with it. It was not a diversion. Why they wouldn't have diversions and kill people? Just so people wouldn't be thinking about the indiscretions of the American president, or is it possible they'd do something like that?
You do surprise me. It is the way these diversionary operations are carried out. It's too much of a coincidence that these things do take place. Another point I think is worth making is that insurgents has become the common all-purpose definition of the resistance fighters in Iraq. And it's taken... an insurgent, according to the dictionary, is a rebel or somebody rising in active revolt. And after all, they want their country back. And the invasion was illegal, therefore the administration from El Por Bremer onwards was illegal. The puppet government was illegal because the entire operation was illegal from the start.
And, of course, that's one of the reasons why we object to the International Criminal Court, or why we insist that we would be excluded from it. It's all right to go after people like Milosevic and the people, the war crime criminals from Bosnia. But we don't want that to apply to the Americans because we know what we've done is illegal, and we would not want to have our president and our soldiers and our officials hauled before an international criminal court to stand trial for war crimes.
Yeah.
And that's what it's really all about. That's why we object to the International Criminal Court.
Well, if you want to turn this whole approach on its head... Rumsfeld, speaking in New Delhi in June 2002, referred to terrorism against innocent men, women, and children. Now, if there was ever hypocrisy, that is it. And double standards. I mean, what has been done to the innocents in Iraq, apart from the sanctions?
I think people have to know that it is estimated that 2 million people died because of the sanctions. Most civilians, a half a million, were children. And when Madeleine Albright was asked, were you justified in doing that? Her reply was, of course, you know, we had to. Their deaths was why? I mean, what crime had they committed?
She said that on the 12th of May, 1996.
I mean, how can you possibly justify killing a half a million Iraqi children? Do you think that's any way to win friends and influence people? I mean, they were of no danger to the United States, and Iraq is not a danger to the United States. Remember, we had funded it, and if you doubt that, you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you an article out of the left-wing Washington Post entitled When an Ally Becomes an Enemy, How We Funded and Supported and Did Everything We Could to Build Up the Wicked, Wicked, Wicked Saddam Hussein. And has anybody who was responsible for that ever been held, you know, taken to court or ridiculed or exposed? No, we honor them. And in fact, one of them got his son elected president. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, there we are. Let me give you another one. The terms terrorist, terrorism, terrorists, terror are legitimate terms, but you wouldn't think so to read the Western media. They're used largely these days to denote those opposed to Western or coalition interests. Anybody who opposes the West is defined as a terrorist, and that acts terrorism. Now, Professor Brigadier Freiherr von der Heydt, in his book Modern Irregular Warfare, makes it quite clear that the terrorist methods are a perfectly legitimate form of warfare. They are used by insurgents or guerrillas who are faced with huge conventional forces armed with modern state-of-the-art battlefield weapons. It is all they have to go on, sabotage, assassination, and so on. Now, it's regarded as being something illegitimate in the context of Iraq and the Middle East generally. But you see, if we look at what the French resistance were doing during the Second World War, or the Eastern European or the Balkan resistance, they were doing exactly the same thing. And there's currently a talk-up, of course it has its tactical purpose, behind the accusations. But you see a talk-up about Syrian and Iranian borders being used. Well, I mean, how does one police a huge border, long border, for either country? In any case, like those were the common cause in 1939-45, there were bound to be movements of guerrillas, and no fuss was made about the fact that the French resistance may have contained fighters from elsewhere. But you see, because it suits the Western powers, the coalition governments, they condemn terrorists on a totally incorrect basis, quite deliberately so. But you see, another statement that's been made, I think it was made by Prime Minister Blair, no country, meaning Iran, has any right to interfere in the affairs of another country. Well, if ever there was the pot calling the kettle black, that's it.
I mean, one of the things that really disturbed me, Colonel, is the fact that it was recently announced within the last 2 weeks we were going to sell the Iraqi oil fields for about $25 billion to a consortium of Western oil companies. Now, where do we get off selling Iraq's oil fields? Well, the Iraqis say we're over there to steal their oil. Could it be possible that they're right?
Well, of course, the West had made absolutely no post-invasion plans. They clearly, Rumsfeld and company, rode roughshod over any possibility of that sort of provision. They then put in General Jay Garner, who arrived smoking in sunglasses and generally appeared to be pretty incompetent as the first administrator. Then L. Paul Bremer. Now, he drafted legislation for the economic pillage of Iraq. Now, who's been told about the presence of Monsanto? And Monsanto, of course, is a huge force in the GMO field, the removal of farm subsidies, and the control of seed amongst Iraqi farmers.
I think that's such an interesting point. Could you explain what Monsanto has done and why we have put part into their constitution that the people are going to have to use Monsanto seeds for their they can no longer plow their fields and plant their seeds? They have to use American-produced seeds forever?
This is the way Monsanto work. I mean, the British government tried to get in bed with Monsanto. They're totally committed to the global corporations, the new labor. This is what it's all about in this country. But no, Monsanto having patent rights, the same thing has been exercised in Canada. The same thing is exercised in India. Wherever they go, what they do is, in effect, colonize the agriculture.
And, of course, then they bring in their genetically modified foods.
That's right.
And of course, they do not allow people choice. They seem almost as if they have an agenda. And there is a great deal of scientific evidence of the very real danger of the food that they are forcing onto the Iraqi people.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, yes. I mean, the dangers from GMO food, of course, are well known. And there are people who travel lecturing on this. I have a friend who is an expert on GMO, and she's been lecturing in Austria and Switzerland and dealing at commissioner level with the European Union.
May I ask your name?
It's an uphill battle.
All right, no, I don't know her. Go ahead.
But you see, I'm trying to look at the history and why the appalling record we've had. I think, you see, the Sykes-Picot Treaty of 1916, that was Britain and France sharing the spoils in the Middle East, while Lawrence of Arabia was promising the opposite to the Arabs.
In other words, they promised the Arabs freedom if they would join them opposing the Ottoman Empire, and they lied.
Yes.
And then they promised to give the French the Palestine, and then they gave it to the Jews, the Balfour Declaration. And then they moved in and occupied Iraq and specifically put together a country that they knew would be unstable, made of three disparate groups, one Shia, one Sunni, and one Kurd. Why? Because they wanted instability so they could justify staying.
Well, you see, we gassed the rebellious tribesmen in the 1920s.
Now you used poison gas on the Iraqis. Yes, that was a terrible war crime. But where is the outcry?
Where is it? Or where is the publicity either?
Nope.
I mean, who's been given this record as a background to what is going on today, or associated with the guilt, the real guilt for Halabja? But you see, these countries in the Middle East have only had. Something like only had until the 1950s 30 years experience of any form of government, of self-government. In the 1950s, we deposed Dr. Mossadegh in Iran because he threatened to, I think he actually did, nationalize the oil industry. Clearly, it was against our interests, so we got rid of him. We supported the Shah because he kept the lid on it in Iran. And, of course, the Shah was a great source of lucrative arms sales. The Shah went, the Ayatollahs came in.
But I think people...
So we set up Saddam Hussein to depose them,
right.
To neutralize them.
I think everybody's forgotten that we actually toppled the Shah, and meaning the Ayatollahs would come to power. I can remember back in 1979 when that took place, and wondering why would we topple a man, and maybe he wasn't perfect, but at least he was a friend of the West, he was a bulwark against communism, why would we topple him and bring the Ayatollahs in who hated America? Why, it's almost like we were creating the best enemies our money could buy, and now, of course, 25 years later, it's very obvious why. Because I believe we're very soon going to war with Iran. We've created the best enemy our foreign policy and our intelligence agencies could create.
Mm. But, you see, another milestone, as we sort of bring it up to date, Ramsey Clark, I think, was the Attorney General under Jimmy Carter. Now, in the Fire This Time, which is a fascinating book, he records the indiscriminate killing of fleeing Iraqi forces in the 1991 Gulf War, after they'd been defeated. The killing, deliberate killing, shooting of men trying to surrender, of others being buried alive in their trenches, and the deliberate bombing of civilians in Fallujah.
I think they call that the highway of death, but... Of course, we never like to talk about that in America, because we don't realize there really are evil people in our government.
Well, you see, here we are. This was the record in 1991. Are we surprised? Can we be surprised at the ferocious resistance? It's no good blaming Syria or blaming Iran. It's people who want their country back and know that these atrocities were committed, what, a dozen years before. But you see, Clark is regarded in comments I've seen as a left-leaning liberal.
He is a left-leaning liberal, but at least...
The point is, well, you're not talking... It's germane to the political division.
You're absolutely right. It doesn't matter whether he has a pointed head or he's a left-leaning liberal.
If what
he writes is true and people really need to actually check out the history of the highway of death of 1991, because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose.
Absolutely right. I mean, left-wing and right-wing are just diversionary terms, trigger terms to stop people thinking. We should really be thinking in terms of right and wrong.
Absolutely, and is human life really important? And if we have indiscriminate and wanton killing and torturing of human beings, if Americans allow that sort of thing, will God continue to honor this country? Well, Colonel Turner, I wish we could go on for another hour. Maybe I could get you on for a couple of hours on one of our programs. There's so much
more. I'd be delighted to send you more.
I know. We've just begun to scratch the surface. Well, I hope many of our listeners who want to get this program want to check out what you've said. Determine, could this really be true? Because if it is, why, we should be taking a stand for righteousness if we are true to our faith. Colonel, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, I'm most grateful to be able to speak, and it's very kind of you to have me on the air. And I'd be delighted to sort of continue this theme, because it has a long way to go to bring it up to date. But thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company has been making triple concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Colonel Barry Turner, a retired military officer in Great Britain. And, of course, if you'd like to know more about the depleted uranium, we have a great four-tape set on depleted uranium. If you don't believe the media is controlled in America, you really need to read Professor McDakin's book, The New Media Monopoly, pointing out that five mega corporations dominate 90-95% of the major media in America, and that is Bertelsmann, Disney, Fox, Viacom, and AOL, Time Warner. They control essentially what you hear, what you read, what you see, and tragically, what you believe. We have a great four-tape set on the Gulf War illness. Do you realize that almost half of the young men we sent overseas to fight for freedom in the first Gulf War have symptoms of Gulf War illness? Now, we actually have the government report, the Veterans Administration report. If you doubt what I'm saying, you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 will give you the page where they show you that, you know, of the young men who went from Great Britain, I think 62% came back and are ill today. Of the people from the New England, air unit up there, 65%. One unit in Kansas, 38%. Another one, 43%, 44%. And then, of course, we have a great book. It's called Vaccine A. We recommend that to you. And we have a four-tape set on Vaccine A. You really need to understand what they did two of the servicemen who went to the Gulf. So many of them are ill today. And just as they lied about Agent Orange for so many years, so they're lying about what they did to the boys in the first Gulf War, and they're lying about what they're doing then today. 30% of the young men, after they've been back in this country for two or three months, have some sort of mental problems. At least they call it mental problems, and they're trying to convince you it's post-traumatic stress, and I'm sure some of it is. But some of it is other diseases that are manifest by emotional problems and forgetfulness and diarrhea and asthma and all of the symptoms of Gulf War illness. Let me suggest you get our four-tape set on Gulf War illness, our four-tape set on the anthrax vaccine. Now, we have several books on anthrax vaccine. We have the book Vaccine A, and it's a very important book. And because it's the vaccine that was the experimental vaccine that was given to our boys over there and destroy the lives of so many. And tens of thousands of them are already dead, and they're covering up the truth. But if you'd like to see that page from the Veterans Administration report, the only one that the government couldn't influence and threaten and get them to cover up the truth, why, we have the page of the report that came out in September of last year, and we'll send that to you free of charge. You want to get the four-tape set on Vaccine A, the book Vaccine A, the four-tape set on depleted uranium, the four-tape set on the Gulf War illness, and understand what we're doing. Because, you see, if we're unconcerned about our servicemen, who will there be to defend us when, of course, similar things happen in America? If you haven't yet seen our video or DVD, Planned Population Reduction, it's something we've just done 2.5 hours, and I will tell you that you will never look at the world through the same eyes again. Somebody wrote to me this last week and said he'd showed it to a minister from Africa, and the man couldn't sleep afterwards because he knew it was true. And it explains all of the unexplainable things, so many of the things he was witnessing over in Africa, where in both Swaziland and in Botswana, 42% of the pregnant women are now HIV infected and they're going to die. That is either the worst public health failure of all time or the most successful genocidal policy. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Remember, we're having an all-day conference here in the Monterey Bay area on November 19th. We're serving lunch, so you'll have to have reservations. 1-800-544-8927. We do carry the Berkey products, Big Berkey, Berkey Light, and we are going to have more emergencies and tragedies here. You really need a source of potable water. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. And so, well, until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Sand, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.